The following content contains adult subject matter, including sensitive material, and is intended for adult consumption only. It may not be suitable for all audiences. Therefore, discretion is advised.
Okay, you guys! Welcome back to Breaking Down with me, Allie Colbert. Hi, it's me. How's everybody doing? Are we in our cars? Are we trying to fall asleep? Are you just waking up? Are we going for a run? What is happening? Are you in the back of a cab? Are you in the back of an Uber? Are you crying on the floor? Today on the show, we have the one, the only, Lily Singh. I loved having Lily on. I did Lily's show when she was hosting Late Night. And the sneakers I am wearing today are in fact from Lily Singh. Thanks, Lily. If you confront someone about not doing something that they said they were going to do, they might send you sneakers in the mail. I think you're going to hear that was record on the air when I was talking to Lily about the shoes, because when I did her show, her producer sent out a note being like, wear amazing sneakers. And if you wear them and the host doesn't notice, they might mail you sneakers. So call people out because you might get gifts. And for just $50, Venmo at Allie Colbert, I will send you a video, a photo of this foot without the sneaker.
Wow.
And for $200, I'll give you the sock I'm wearing. Enjoy. You guys, keep emailing the show. Breakingdown at Spotify.com. I want to hear from you. We're going to do an episode with all of your questions and confessions. And I like hearing from you guys. So please reach out. Say hi. I'll say hi back. Hummus Hour this week, I watched the movie Naiad, where Annette Bening and Jodie Foster, this movie is about the woman, Naiad, who swam from Cuba to Florida. She failed to do it at 28, reclaims the dream in her 60s. This is a Hummus Hour movie, folks. Not only is she gay, being coached by her gay friend, but to swim for over 48 hours in the open water, that's to me is dykey. I don't know why. I just can't imagine a straight woman torturing herself in that way. Just being like, I'm going to swim in the cold through the dark. You're going to have to feed me while I kind of doggy paddle, lap up the waves next to the boat, just throwing soba noodles in my mouth. That's gay. And I'm not saying that as an insult, but it's certainly not. You don't see bisexuals doing that. Okay. Are people upset about that joke? Prove me wrong. Let's have a bisexual swim from Cuba to Florida. They probably wouldn't commit to it. Okay. People are going to hate me for this intro. I don't care. I'm just stating the facts. One woman who did it, she happened to be a lesbian. All right. Lily Singh's on the show today. Follow the show, watch the episode on Spotify, listen wherever else, give us 5 stars. I don't comment something negative, I don't want to hear it.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance. And you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and 2 tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Breaking down. Lily Singh is on the show. You have such an enormous following.
Oh boy, here we go.
You are such a big following. Is it that, like, exhausting?
It's a lot of things at the exact same time. I've learned that, I don't know if you have this experience, mm-hmm. everything that I wanted and I got is amazing and great. I'm grateful, but everything is everything. And what I mean by that is everything is good and everything is bad and everything is a double-edged sword. Yeah. Every single thing. There's not one single thing that's a single-edged sword. I'm like, everything is a double-edged sword.
Right.
So a following is really cool. I mean, in some instances, it allows me to do some really cool things. I raise money for a lot of great causes. I can have a community. And then other times, it's like, oh, a million people are yelling at me and telling me who to be.
Right.
So it's, you know, it has its moments.
What is you started on YouTube,
yep.
as everyone knows, which is like total, YouTube is completely oversaturated. Like, what is the ingredient mm-hmm. that you feel that you cut through all of that? Is it like talent, commitment, luck, time, like everything?
I think so. So I started in 2010.
Yeah.
Of course, we have to address the fact that like there is a little bit of like, I'm super grateful. It's like I won the lottery. It is luck, right opportunity, right time, me making decisions at the right time. If I had waited longer, maybe nothing would have happened, you know?
Right.
I do think what I had going for me is that there wasn't a lot of people that looked like me mm-hmm. on the platform talking about the things I was talking about.
Yeah.
Periods, relationships, stuff with your parents, where a lot of girls that looked like me would have been like, I don't think I've ever heard someone talk about these things in this way before. So I think that was going for me. But I have to give myself a little bit of credit too. It was good opportunity, good time, but I also worked really hard.
Yeah.
Like one thing, listen, I won't BS any of my other strengths, but the one thing I know I got going for me is if I want to achieve something, I will work relentlessly hard to achieve it. And that is what I did with YouTube. Taught myself how to edit, how to shoot, built tripods out of books, like dedicate. So back then you didn't have analytics.
Yeah.
You couldn't go into the back end and see like, I used to like That's make nice. Excel
That's
sheets.
That's a relief, isn't it?
I know, but I used to make like Excel sheets.
Oh, you
to
were
track
doing
everything.
It.
I was in it.
So when does it occur to you where you say, okay, I'm going to do YouTube. I'm going to do it seriously.
It occurred to me the day I had to tell my parents I wanted to make YouTube videos. Because before that, I was like, whatever. I was just making YouTube videos, doing things. But the day I decided I'm actually not going to go to grad school.
Right.
I'm actually going to try this. That got really real. And I had to tell my parents. I was living with my parents.
Yeah.
I was 25. That's right. Laugh at me, everyone. I don't care. I lived with my parents until I was 25.
Who cares?
Thank you. A lot of people laugh at me.
I laugh all the way to the bank.
And that's right. That's right, baby. But I will say that became really real because I had to let my ambitions be known. It wasn't just my little secret anymore. It was like a kind of like a career choice in a way to be like, I'm going to stop doing this thing and instead try this thing. And my parents actually put a ticking clock on my decision. They said they'd give me a year to try to make something come of this. And so that forced me to like go into this overdrive of being like, I need to learn everything. I need to work hard. 2 videos a week. This is what I'm doing. So it was actually great.
Wait, what were you going to get your master's in?
So I have a degree in psychology.
Okay.
OBS, I mean, come on.
Yeah, of course.
And I was applying. I wasn't in yet, but I was applying to go to graduate school.
Okay.
To do something along the lines of like counseling for no reason.
Yeah.
Not because I was particularly passionate about it at that time. It's just I had this degree. I followed my sister's footsteps. And I'm like, these are the options of what you can do next. Like, I guess I'll fall into this path.
Yeah.
And that kind of killed me inside.
Yeah. And your parents liked that path.
My parents. And this is not a commentary on them. It's a commentary on just their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They really respect a plan, a mm-hmm. tried and trusted plan.
Okay.
Now, in their minds, that plan would be if you get a degree, that is stability. Of course, in today's day and age, we know that's an absolute lie.
No one has a degree.
No one I know is using a degree.
Or no one uses a degree.
No, exactly. But, you know, at that time, it was you get a degree, you get a job, you get married. This is kind of the path because
right.
this is what they knew. And that just always was like, I always felt this can't be it. This
yeah.
can't, I'm just going to choose from this selection of things that I don't really care about. Like, this can't be my life. And so I decided to take a different path. And to be fair to their, you know, credit, 2010, who knew what YouTube was at that time? Who knew you could make a career off YouTube?
Right.
So it's not like they were being irrational in any way.
Yeah.
It's just I was trying to do something that they didn't know anyone else.
Right.
To have
They're
done.
Trying to support you.
Correct. They're trying to make it so I'm not asking them for $20 at the age of 50. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that. And are you thinking with YouTube, I'm going to be funny on YouTube? Or what's your intention?
I think I'm thinking more than anything that I just want. And like, I'm going to be real with you.
Please be
I
real
I think
with me.
I'm going to be
the
so
whole
real.
Interview.
Because I came in here being like, I'm going to be fake. But I said right now, I'm going to be real.
Thank God. That took us 10 minutes.
More than anything.
Yeah.
I wanted deeply to be someone. Like, honestly, I think I have a little bit of a complex to be heard. and to prove myself. Mm-hmm. And we can go deep into why that may be. Like, I just have a complex of, like, being a girl, being raised, being told you can't do so many things. I had this thing to be like, I want to be heard and I want to be a someone and I want to prove I can do whatever I think I can do and what I want to do. And so, yes, I loved YouTube because it allowed me to be creative. Mm-hmm. I've always been really creative from a young age. I loved it because it was a new, exciting challenge and there seemed to be very little rules about it. But I also just deeply wanted to make something of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And YouTube was the perfect avenue to do that at the time.
And that to you is making something of yourself more than it is pursuing a different career. So it's associated with work.
I mean, yeah. So in 2010, I don't know if I truthfully believed in my heart that this could be a long-term career.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that it would lead to me writing books or moving to LA or doing any of this. And I don't think anyone at that time did know that.
Right.
It was just really like, this is a cool thing. I can make something of this. I have no... For those of you that don't know me, my username was Superwoman. So right. That goes to show how little business sense I had about this going anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I'm going to make a big deal on this platform and we'll see what happens. And in my mind, I'm thinking, and then maybe one day I got to go to grad school. You know? But right now, I'm doing this thing.
Yeah.
And it luckily went somewhere.
And what is... do you feel when they give you a year, what happens at the end of the year if you don't... What's the threat? They're going to kill you?
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't get to find out, luckily.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My parents said, you have a year, and if not, then you have to go to grad school. It was, if you want to go off this path that we believe is like a tried and trusted path, you have a year to do that. But if that doesn't work out, you will go back onto the path that we believe is the one. And that everyone around us, to be fair, has also followed.
Right.
Yeah.
So what happens during the year where it's okay?
So the year where it's okay, I teach myself... Almost every skill I have today, I teach myself comedic timing. I watch every person that's doing comedy on YouTube.
Yeah.
How are they telling a joke? How do they do this transition? How do they edit this thing? What software are they using? I need to get the software. I need to save for a camera. First camera, $699. I'm like, oh my God, that's basically $10 million. So I save up. I buy a camera. I teach myself every possible thing I can teach myself. In fact, I was shooting videos so often that people don't know this. For the first couple of videos, my friends would play my parents.
Mm.
But then I was shooting so often, my friends were like, we're not coming to your house every day to be your parents. That's the only reason I dressed up like my parents. Because I wanted to
You were running out of friends.
Yes. No one else. And that turned out to be the thing that like really got me popping.
That reminds me of... Have you ever done stand-up?
I've done instances of it. Not like you're like professional.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I do it in a room full of people that are my friends and fans that will laugh for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when you start doing stand-up. Mm-hmm. In order to get stage time, you perform on bringer shows, which is basically you bring like four people and then you get stage time.
Okay.
But what happens is you do enough of these shows and your friends are like, we're not coming anymore.
Yeah, right.
You burn through them.
Correct.
And you're not even that good at the time.
Yeah.
So by the time that you are good, they're like, we don't really want to see you. You suck.
Right. So basically, if you're listening to this, what we're trying to tell you is friends suck. Your friends suck.
Your friends suck and you drag them through the mud to accomplish something until they just let go and their hands are just raw. Yeah.
That is the key to success. Lean on other people until they all walk away and then count on yourself.
Yeah. In order to get to the top, step on others.
100%.
Ladder your way
that
up.
That should be the poster.
Weaker
like,
than
this
you.
This should say that.
What is this Pottery Barn teen
this
bullshit?
This should say use other people.
Use other people.
Who is anybody listening in the back?
Yeah, I know. It's lonely at the top, but the view is so good.
That's that. These are the lessons.
I know. I mean, okay, but during that year.
Do they know there's a man over here laughing and thinking we're crazy? Do they know this?
This is a legal requirement that I have one straight white man in the corner of the room.
God. Okay.
To like
Tell
weigh
me about
in.
It. Yeah.
to
weigh in.
Spotify does. They're like, we need one straight white guy in every room to make sure Matt's loving this.
Oh, wow, cute.
But you pop off in that year where your parents are like, okay.
Something happened in that year. Pop off, depends how you define pop off, but I definitely gained a following. I started to make money.
What's a following?
A following was like, okay, so here's the thing. When you think about YouTube now, you think like, oh, like everything has a million views.
Yeah.
I vividly remember when I got 1,000 subscribers.
Okay.
Which sounds like
nothing.
Nothing today.
Right.
Because a cat can burp and 6 million people will
literally
be like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I got 1,000 subscribers. And I would say I wasn't a product of a viral video. Every video of mine really counted. So in that year, following of like a couple thousands, like not a million or anything like that.
That's
maybe like,
it? That's all you had to do to get your parents' approval?
Well, I started making money.
Get 5 likes.
I started making money.
No, that's
and
crazy.
And I started getting opportunities to like perform places.
Yeah.
And here's the real thing. Let me just be real.
Be real again.
Be real again.
My favorite moments are when you're real.
Here we go. Why my parents became okay with this.
Yeah.
is because other family members started to call them being like,
that's cool.
Your daughter's doing like really cool things. We saw her videos. They're really funny. And they're like, yeah, of course. We always support her. Do these things. You know what I'm saying? So, and I don't hold that against them. The Indian community is very big on community because that's how they survived. My parents came to Canada and they're like, community is everything. So I'm not mad at the fact that approval from a community means something to them. Mm-hmm. But that is definitely the thing that made them okay. To be like, oh, we don't need to live in like this fear. Maybe we can let go of that a little bit because these people are liking what Lily is doing. And like, clearly she's having some sort of impact.
Wow. That I would get triggered by that. And
I didn't say I'm not triggered. I'm just explaining that I've come to, after lots of therapy, I've sculpted this answer to give you.
Right. Because I understand that and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And also, like, the story I would tell myself is that, like, they're more concerned with looking good than my authentic joy.
I mean, if you want to talk about traumatic stories, I have a very, very similar one that's equally as traumatic, which is that this is going to get, we're going to go, okay. When I was born, I was the second daughter.
Okay.
And in my Indian family.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of extended relatives in India that were very upset about this. Because, mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of cultures, people really want a son.
Yeah.
A son
Lily has like the prettiest eyes.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
You're
that was
welcome.
Very well timed. And so a lot of my grandparents look really upset. They're really disappointed. Yada, yada. So I think that's why I have the chip on my shoulder to be like, I need to prove myself. I need to be somebody.
Upset that you're a girl.
Yes. Upset that I was a girl. That's right. upset that there was a second daughter and no sons in my family.
Okay.
So people are really disappointed. And so that's why I was raised with this chip on my shoulder. My immediate family never felt that way. But there were so many other people that just immediately discredited me and that I could do anything. Because what they know is that a son brings you pride and joy and all those things. So that's why I had the chip on my shoulder. If we want to talk about traumatic things, the day my grandfather, my dad's dad, accepted me fully was the day I was in India and announced my first world tour. I had to literally become a superstar with millions of followers called Superwoman for him to be like, I was wrong. I'm so proud of you. So in my heart, I can also look at that story and be like, you would never be saying this to me if I wasn't on the front page of the newspaper you read every day. You would never say this to me. But I've just had to come to terms with the fact that like I can disagree with you and be hurt by that, but also accept that like there's been some reconciliation here. So I double-edged sword, baby.
Right.
No single-edged swords.
I know. I mean, it must feel good to hear that. Mm-hmm. But by the way, when you're born and that's the narrative, are people telling this to you later in life? You're not hearing
100%,
it as a...
Yeah.
Why are they saying that?
You know what? I thought that for a long time, too.
You're like 10, they're like, just so you know.
My mom said that to me. My mom... And that wasn't when I was super young. It was like when I was a teenager. She was like, you're... Some of your relatives in India, they're really upset. And it's because they gave her a really hard time as well. And I think my mom saw me going down this like really rebellious path in terms of like, I was always, it was like in my DNA almost that I would always be like, what do you mean girls can't do this? I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And she saw that as part of me. So I think she actually made a great decision in telling me that because it has really fueled, yes, a chip on my shoulder, but I don't think a chip on my shoulder is a bad thing. It has actually driven me to really do some incredible things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I identify with some of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, in different ways. But, like, specifically the need to, like, prove myself professionally to feel like I get love from my family.
100%. And that's, like, we're not saying that's healthy. We're not saying
that. I don't think it's healthy.
But it's reality. And it is valid. It's a valid feeling. And we can do our part to work on it and work through that. But, like, I don't know. I'm in the season of trying to surrender and accept right now.
Yeah.
We're trying.
Yeah. I'm just so historically used to being celebrated for something I do professionally.
100%, yes.
That it's like if I take my hand off the wheel there, what can I bring to my parents to show them how good I am, how enough I am?
Mine even goes a little more deranged than that. My mom is actually really good at being like, I don't care what you do for work. I care if you're a good person. My dad is like, you know, God bless him soul, but he's very much like, he still calls me Superwoman till this day. Like, he's like, Superwoman. Like, he's very, that's fine. For me, For me, what it is that I do it to myself. Forget my parents.
Oh, me too.
I only celebrate myself for professional accomplishments. I was looking at my vision board on the past year and I was like, there's a bunch of, so millennial, there's a bunch of things.
No, I was thinking about the first part. I love the vision board.
There's like so many professional things that I've accomplished in my life. But I put some other things on my vision board, friendships, a bunch of other things. And I reflect on my year and I'm like, you've been the best friend this past year that you've been any other year. Mm-hmm. Why do you not celebrate that in the way you would celebrate a new show?
Yeah.
Like, why? What is... And I'm still working on that. But I think we have this problem where it's like professional accolades are defining. And it shouldn't be like that.
And it's also not ever going to fulfill you in the way that, like, relationships with others and yourself will.
Right? Maybe this is the right decor.
Right?
Like, it's, maybe this is the right decor for this conversation.
But the thing about celebrating is, like, I'll tell myself that. I'll only celebrate professional accomplishments. Mm-hmm. I don't even give myself the chance to do that.
Oh, no, because you're on to the next thing.
I won't celebrate.
You don't care about this. I'm also, this conversation after this one, you're planning the next one.
Yeah, and also, I'm too anxious, neurotic, paranoid about, like, losing the opportunity, fucking it up. I don't want it to go away if I say it. I don't want to tell people if it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So I actually squander every opportunity to be happy.
Wow. It's like looking in a mirror, honestly. It's like looking in a mirror.
But it's like, why? Why are you doing this? You can celebrate little steps. Even if it doesn't come to fruition. Even if someone doesn't buy your show. Even if you have a... Like, what's the point? So that you can protect
something?
What's the
point of anything? This is also where I'm at in life. Where
this
I'm
is
like,
made up. This shouldn't be our job.
Yeah.
Like, why? What is this? Take it over. It's the truth.
No, I've been thinking, I don't know. Recently, I've gotten quite existential and I've been reflecting a lot. And I don't know what it is, but I'm just like really evaluating a lot of the agreements I've made in life and like rethinking some of my. And I'm not here to be like, listen, the reality is also, like, can I ask how old you are? Is that okay? How old are you?
30.
Okay. So I'm a little older than you.
Can you say the age?
Okay, yeah, fine. I just turned 35. Whatever, I don't care.
That's not old.
Okay, but the point is we're older than we once
were. Are.
Hence age, how that works.
I can't believe it. Okay.
But I've just been reflecting, and I'm not here to say like, oh, I believe this now and I don't believe that. I just think I'm really realizing there's a lot of agreements I've made in life and there's a lot of thoughts I have where I'm just like, maybe I need to rethink those things or maybe things can be different. They can be done a different way.
Like what?
Like, okay, so I'm... Clearly from this conversation, you can tell that I'm very big on like everything women's girls. I'm all everything I've ever done in my career. I'm like, gender equality, that's my chip on my shoulder. Recently, I've been like identifying certain things I do in my life where I'm like, oh my God, I think this thing I do is completely upholding the patriarchy that I am doing.
What?
Like, okay. I think I'm so good as a woman, and I think a lot of women are good at this. I think I'm so good at molding myself that I've convinced myself that it's strategy when I think it's actually just me feeling like I have to change myself to fit into different places. Like, I recently was talking to my therapist, shout outs, God bless you. And I was like talking about just like what I talk about a lot is this obsession with what other people think. And when we're talking about social media or like the person that greenlights our show or the executive that makes the decision, whoever that person is, the person that has an opinion about me and why I care so much about what they think.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I convinced myself that if I mold myself enough, this person will like me. Mm-hmm. And I have that power. I can adjust my comedy so that you greenlight my show. I can appease you with some statement online so that you decide that I am a good person that you want to support. Mm-hmm. And for so much of my life, I've done that. I've changed my tone when I walk into a room with dudes and I've changed my tone when I talk to those people. And then I go to talk to these fundraising people. And I'm like, that's strategy. You got to read the room. And to some extent, that's true. Mm-hmm. There is a little bit of strategy. But I think to some extent, it's also me being like, I'm so used to molding myself for everybody else and losing my actual shape in the process.
Do you think men experience that? Or that's particularly female?
I can't speak to that because I don't have their experience. But my instinct is telling me that they probably feel less pressured to do that as often as women do.
Yeah, you know? I think so. I mean...
I just think I do it so often.
Yeah, there's less... But that's because it works.
Yeah.
Like, it gets you somewhere.
Right.
I don't think I would have gotten where I got if I, like, didn't do that.
I'm going to tell you a realization I had.
Please.
And this is going to really make the decor on theme. I just want to let you know.
I'm so excited.
Okay.
Play the music.
I had this realization 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'm only sharing it because it actually made me so sad that I only had this realization 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Because it sounds like something I should have known since literally the age of four.
Okay.
When people are mad at me, let's say on social media, for any reason, your hair, we hate your hair, whatever, maybe. I was talking to my therapist about this and I said, I think they don't like me and they hate me. And I, what if I hate them too? And it never occurred to me that as a human being, I had the ability to be like, oh, you don't agree with me or like me. Well, you know, I don't really agree with you and like what you're doing either. Mm-hmm. That never has occurred to me in my entire career of being online. Because my response was always, oh, they don't like me? Okay, what can I do to appease this feeling they have?
Right.
What can I post next? What can I do next? How can I adjust what I'm saying? How can I make it so that I'm likable to you?
Right.
Whereas really what you can say is like, hey, it's not that I want to have hate in my heart, but if you don't like me and you're acting this way, I don't really like the way you're acting either. And like, I don't like you.
Yeah.
Like, you're allowed to say that.
Yeah, you're allowed to say that. I almost feel like the more empowered step would be to be like, and I don't care.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Not that I hate you back.
I'm not, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that now I need to go around and be like, you hate me, I hate you, because yeah. That does nothing.
Yeah.
It's more so,
I don't like that behavior.
I don't, but I can say that.
Yeah.
I never said that. It was always,
yeah.
You don't like something about me, let me adjust everything in my life
right.
to get you to change that opinion, whereas I can say, okay, like, that's fine. I don't need to adjust myself based on that. And I also, here's another spoiler to go a step further. I don't want to act like you, so why would I look to you? Like, it's just this. I feel like a 4-year-old knows this, and I didn't know this.
No, I don't think everyone names it like that. And also, this idea of, like, I don't want to act like you, so why am I going to you? That comes up for me all the time when in every sector, but I'm actually thinking about relationship advice mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. People will ask people for relationship advice. I'm like, you don't respect the relationship they have. Why are we going to them for...
Yes.
Why are you going to them for relationship advice? Their marriage sucks.
Or like, I'll ask my friend who like is like, my parents are rich. I don't have a job. I don't care. And I'm like, can you give me career advice on this very important career decision I have to make? And I'm like, am I a stupid? Why am I doing? Why do we do this?
Stupid?
Why do we do this?
I don't know. I don't know if like we don't trust ourselves. We want to be able to trust our friends. It's also like, who do you go to?
I think it's self-sabotage. Or like, who's the worst person in this room to give me advice? Let me just solely listen to
you. No, literally. One of my very good friends is like a professionally terrible dater.
Okay, name their names. What's her name? Oh my God, you actually said their name. Is that their name?
Yeah. She's so bad. Like, I'll go and ask her for advice. It feels like I'm knocking on the door of an insane asylum. And I'm like, what do you think I should do? She just blows up every relationship. But but I'll go to her and I like kind of agree with her sometimes. But I'm like, you're not creating results that I'm interested in creating. So why do I keep going to you?
Yes.
I don't know why. But your therapist doesn't give you advice. Your therapist should give you advice and your friends should just be quiet and listen. We should flip it.
So what you're saying is correct with me with people on social media. It's like what you're saying I fundamentally disagree with.
Yeah.
And I would never want to behave like this.
Right.
But now I'm going to analyze you as if I want to be you. Like, it just makes no sense.
I know. It doesn't make sense. Do you find yourself, like, in the same way you were doing that online? Does that show up for you, like, in relationships where you're like, I want to fit myself so that this person likes
me? I do. Like, social media was just one example. But I think I am just so used to molding myself because it has worked so many times.
Yeah.
And I still maintain that. And sometimes, yeah, it's important. You go into a room, you got to read the vibe, feel the vibe. You got to, like, you know, mesh. But I think there's some instances where, like, I don't need to mold.
Yeah.
I don't need to adjust, but I'm just doing it because I'm so used to doing it.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I'm going to mold so that this person feels more comfortable.
Yeah, it's like, you know? I'm not responsible for your emotions.
Right. Yeah.
And people do this, especially when they like go home to their family, if they've like broken any sort of convention, like you're different from your siblings mm-hmm. or you move to a different city and you're whatever it is. I mean, I'm speaking as like a queer person mm-hmm. living in a city mm-hmm. and my family's like, what's going on there? But it's like, I don't need to go home and like make myself small so that people are comfortable.
Right.
You can deal with whatever emotions come up around the fact that you have a gay daughter
mm-hmm.
and that's mm-hmm. that's on you. I don't have to take care of you. You're an adult.
Right.
And you can regulate your nervous system and I can eat pussy. Like, I'm sorry.
One and the same.
I don't have to like pretend I like.
Yeah. And that's, you know what? I'm sitting here being like, catch me in the holidays making myself small because of the exact same situation. But it's a work in progress.
But I don't want to do it anymore. It's like, I'm tired.
At least you're realizing that.
Yeah.
Like, I won't lie. I'm a couple steps behind you. I'm at the step where I'm like, I'm going to go home for the holidays and I'm going to be like, okay, you know, God bless my Indian family. First, I said I wanted to do YouTube videos and they were like, oh my God. And then I was like, I'm moving to LA and I'm not married. And they're like, oh my God. And then I was like, I'm queer. And they're like, what the hell? So I'm like,
three strikes, you're out.
They're like, kind of like, what else are you throwing at us?
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I'm trying to be compassionate to their experience, which means that sometimes I am very like, okay, don't do this or say this thing. Don't say this joke. And I'm still negotiating what that looks like. I'm not going to sit here and lie and be like, I don't want to mold at all. I'm just trying to be aware of it at least. And like, yeah, you know.
You don't want to go into the situation and like blow the whole thing up.
Right, exactly.
That's scary too. But how do you be...
It's just this whole thing is exhausting. It's just, that's what I was getting at. That me realizing that I do this has been an exhausting realization, but it's something I want to work on.
Yeah. And another thing I found though with like being queer and like making other people comfortable about it was like I was so uncomfortable with it for so long. And then I was like holding other people responsible for that as if they were uncomfortable. But it was just.
You're projecting, yeah.
Yeah, it was just me like being like not okay with it.
Right. I had this thing where after I came out, I really believed that every person I interacted with was staring at me.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, how entitled? Like,
I know.
High horse. Everyone was. And I'm like, no one cared about you. But in that moment, I was so uncomfortable that I was like, for sure, everyone in this restaurant, they see my queerness. They're looking at me.
Isn't
they're like that.
Wild?
It just messes with your mind so much. Yeah.
I would have the experience of like when I first started talking about being gay on stage, I was terrified that I would lose the audience immediately. Mm-hmm. And like, they're fine with it. Everyone's fine with it.
Yeah.
Except for like tons of people that aren't.
Yeah. You're like asterisks except for all the people that are not.
But in many ways, when I'm okay with it, it allows other people to be okay. Mm-hmm. A step further, like when people feel how comfortable I am, it actually invites other people into like getting curious about it. Mm-hmm. And that's the sort of energy that turns straight women. Just
you know what?
I'm just
God
saying,
bless. God
if
bless.
Anyone's interested
hey,
in that,
God bless.
If you're not going to turn them if you're like half in, half out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's when you swing really hard that 100%. Straight women start asking their husbands yeah. if they can fuck around.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Can we talk about, are you dating? Like, what's, do you talk about that? You don't want to talk about it.
Okay, you know what I am?
What
I'm private.
Oh. You're private?
It
must be impossible to date.
I told myself that listen, I have so much of my life on the internet from
and
years ago.
On the internet too.
What I've eaten, my parents have
no,
said.
No, you're right. I wouldn't want to tell a soul.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, whether I'm dating or not, it is one thing. I'm like, this thing is going to just be mine.
Yeah.
Because very few things are mine.
Great. All right. Yeah. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah.
Lily.
All right. Peace. Like, cut this episode. We hate her.
No.
Nothing here.
Honestly, I do get it. I just like asking people about.
Okay. Are you, I'm sorry for not knowing, but are you open about your date?
Yeah. Okay. What do you want to know?
Are you dating?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. I was engaged.
Okay.
And it ended.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Or maybe congratulations.
Thank you.
Yep.
And I've kind of gone through this like year of dating unavailable women.
Okay, perfect.
The straight unavailable women.
Perfect. Like, literally, yeah.
That are curious. If we can't talk about your dating life, can we just talk about mine?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. That are just like really toxic and like really curious.
Yep. Why are we talking about like, oh, so you're saying straight women.
Straight women that are hooking up with me.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah. Okay, right.
Okay, so, but like it really plays upon my, like they're like the perfect puzzle piece for my trauma.
Right. And you believe that like you'll be the one that gets them to like live their truth.
I mean, sometimes I am.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
But I, growing up, was like very, like I was closeted in a way that like I knew I was, I was aware of the fact that I was closeted. Okay. And that was really painful for me. Yeah,
totally.
And I was like always in love with my friends and they always had boyfriends and then we'd have like a secret thing. So to be like 30 and dating women that are unavailable or have husbands or boyfriends or whatever, that is like chef's kiss.
Oh, husband's boyfriend. Sorry, I missed that. I missed that detail.
Like got that it. Sort of thing.
Okay.
Really, like,
because it's like
it
your
activates
comfort zone.
My trauma.
It's your comfort zone, also,
yeah.
Though.
Yes. It's like I don't have to show up. You don't have to show up.
Right.
I get to be a secret, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
And this will hurt me in a way that I'm used to.
And this will hurt me. And then I was just saying, I finally met a gay girl.
Okay.
Who's emotionally available.
Okay.
Who I've been friends with for a really long time.
I'm seeing, okay.
And this is so new, but like you can tell I have like this like juice about it because I keep wanting to bring
so
her up.
You're so cute right now. Look at
I
you.
I keep
you're
wanting
so
to bring
cute.
Her up
oh
and I'm just like obsessed with her.
Oh my God, that's so cute. I'm so happy for you. That's lovely.
I know. Like I'm worried it'll blow up.
But now let me ask you a question.
Yes, Lily. I'm going to be honest.
She seems like a healthy choice. So you Lily are obviously
Singh.
Quite uncomfortable right now.
The healthiest?
Yes. So you're very uncomfortable.
Because everything's coming up.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's like, it's so confronting.
It's because safety and health are out of your comfort zone. And it feels, you're like, it's true.
I start floating
it's
in the
air. It's true. It's, I'm not that I'm a therapist. I'm not, I have a one measly psychology degree that I barely use. But I'm saying,
Break
in my experience, I've learned that when I meet someone that's healthy and then I'm like, oh, you're making great choices and you're actually great at compromise and you're not fighting with me and you're not petty. I'm like, this is wrong. This entire thing is wrong. This is not what a relationship looks like. This is not love. Love is not this. This has to, things wrong with this.
Right.
This is, that I go into that.
Yes.
Right.
And well, what is your attachment style? You're private. Okay. So my attachment style is guessing, making you guess.
Okay.
Like
maybe I don't know. That's why. I'm like, it might change, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what's throwing me in a good way with this like new thing that I'm engaging in is like, she's so consistent.
Ooh, that's a red flag. That's a red flag right there for us unhealthy. Right? That's a huge red flag.
I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
I'm not gonna guess if she's gonna text.
Oh, because she just does it.
She will text.
It's killing me. This is killing me.
She will text, and like, if I say something like affection, like vulnerable or affectionate, she won't like swerve me. She'll meet me there. And like give,
I'm panicking.
And like, give back.
Sweating. I'm sweating right now.
I mean, have you ever? Can you believe that? She's like emotionally generous and unafraid.
Okay, once I met someone, right?
Yeah.
Okay, once I met, like it's wild. Okay,
yeah,
once I
it.
Met someone.
Yeah.
And I was like having a super, I was being so petty. I was having like such a bad day where I like totally projected all over them.
Yeah.
You know what they did? They forgave me.
That's insane.
It's like immediately too.
Why?
I didn't have to punish myself. I didn't have to earn.
They didn't
just like,
withdraw and shut down and make
no,
you beg for it?
They were just immediately like, oh, okay, you had a bad day at work. Like, got it. So in their brain, they're like, so it had nothing to do with me. So yeah. And they did all that math really, really quick that it would take me like 7 workbooks to be like, so if they were mad at me,
right?
Then it's about me. You know, she like, skipped over all of it. She's like, I forgive you. It's cool. And like, actually forgave me though.
Okay, she's a
did
psycho.
Not bring,
she's
that's
a
what
psycho.
I'm saying. I obviously had to never see that person again because I was like, you're crazy and you'll murder me because you're not normal.
What is that?
Yeah,
like, are people just secure?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get, like, how do you arrive at that place? Like, I've been in therapy forever.
100%.
And, like, I still…
It's not in our cards.
No, and I'm just not used to, like, this… I am in the past, I'm like, the way to get someone to like you is to, like, kind of, you know, hide some of your cards.
100%.
Play a little bit of a game because that's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then… Someone tried to not play a game with me, this girl. Mm-hmm. And like that actually is so hot.
Yeah.
That's actually the hottest thing.
Right.
Except I guess if I didn't like her, then I would be really put off.
Yeah. Then you'd be like, ew, you're so straightforward and you're so thirsty.
Right. So
so maybe it's just about that you actually like, you have chemistry and you like this person.
I get.
Yeah.
I might actually like someone.
Oh my God. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much. I've been waiting to tell you. There's, I saw this theory, like a TikTok theory. You know, there's like 100
So must
TikTok.
Be true.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is like real. Have you heard about this 3+1 relationship theory?
No.
Okay, you want to learn about it?
Yes.
Okay. So, according to this random TikToker.
Yes.
I love
Any qualifications beyond them being a TikToker?
A psychology degree.
Okay, that means something though. That's fine.
So, might even…
As a proud holder of a psychology degree, I'm going to say that makes them very qualified.
Might even have a master's.
Okay, wow, that's real.
Okay, unlike some of us
unlike
who chose to make YouTube videos.
Yeah, that's right.
The three, if you want to have an okay, I think, I'm going to butcher it. If you want to have a great relationship, mm-hmm. these are the characteristics you need to have.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Yep.
There's three qualities you have to share with this person, the relationship you have to share.
Okay.
First is you have to have an intellectual connection.
Okay. Okay. I'm on board with that.
Which looks like, can I teach you something and you learn, and can you teach me something and can I learn?
Interesting. Has to go both ways.
Has to go both ways.
I'm out.
Wait, I'm you just want to teach?
I don't want to, but I find yourself. I find myself.
At the chalkboard.
I find myself always being like, wanting to gain intellectual from other people, but not always
receiving
that.
Yes. Yeah, I always feel that way.
Yeah.
Do you always feel like, I always feel like I am the one that has interesting things going on.
Okay. I don't usually sound as douchey as that when I say it. I usually am just like, I feel like I think it's actually a me problem. I put myself in a position.
Okay, drag me.
I put myself in a position where I'm like, I want to offer you stuff and I know I can and I'm going to help you with this.
That's
but I feel like I don't put myself in the position to learn.
That's what I meant.
It's a me problem. Yeah. No, 100%. You said the same thing.
I did mean that.
Yeah, I know that.
And then the second quality is emotional connection. Do you want to grow? Do you want to grow towards the same things I do? Can we grow together? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. The third quality.
Both of us break out in hives.
I know. I have a rash. The third quality is sexual creative chemistry. Is there an exchange there?
Sexual creative?
Sexual and creative.
I've noticed those are together.
To me, they're together.
Okay. Interesting.
Like, how do we relate? How do we exchange?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those three things. Because one of them is going to kick out at some point and you're going to have to rely on the other two to keep it afloat. If you just have two, then you're standing on one leg. And then the plus one is circumstance. Timing. Location.
So again, this is a complicated math.
Isn't it's
complicated math.
Isn't that brutal?
Everything is hard. And
everything is a double-edged sword.
Everything's a double-edged sword. I always say that. Everything is hard, but I'm very happy that you are choosing to take the hard path because it's also a lovely path.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think it's better to be single?
How long have you been, how long have you been single?
Not long.
How long?
Only like a few months.
Okay.
But I've known her for years and years and years.
Okay, that's good. That's great.
So, yeah, is it okay with you?
No, it doesn't matter what is okay with me.
No, but I need approval.
But I can see from butterflies that are happening that it's like a relatively new thing.
Yeah, it's new and it's exciting.
That's great.
But do you think it's better to be single or in relationship?
That's a loaded question. I think the real question here is, are you ready to be in a relationship or are you good being single right now? I'm a big believer that for some people, a relationship is a crutch and it is a distraction and it's a way to get a lot of things that they should be getting from themselves. I'm a huge proponent of you have to be a complete one to be part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I've always been really good at actually. I don't think I've ever been that person that's like, everything in my life is falling apart so I need a relationship.
How do you even have a relationship if everything's falling
apart? That's what
I'm
saying. But I think for some people that is everything can be falling apart, but this thing maybe can be the thing that saves me.
So what does it look like to be a complete one?
I think you cannot be looking to a relationship for your main source of happiness, for your main source of fulfillment. It should be, here's how I view it, and this is my opinion, and maybe people disagree with me. I believe that I should be fully able to sustain happiness myself. And I should be fully able to regulate my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I should be fully able to have goals that I can achieve because of me. And then if I'm in a relationship, I think it's like the cherry on top of a sundae already. That's really great. It's like, oh man, all the things I'm good at, like you make me so much better in these ways.
Yeah.
And like everything I want to achieve, you just gave me a whole bunch of new things I want to achieve with you. So it's like, and. It's
additive.
And. Exactly.
Yes.
It's not to replace something that is missing. It is additive to something that's already pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to show up fully you and like with integrity in order to actually have a real relationship.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just two halves wobbling around.
And for anyone listening, I want to go back to the conversation we had about who you take advice from and make sure you listen to us because clearly we're professionals.
We're professionals.
Yeah.
I think I give great advice.
Really? About everything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's okay. That's another great. I give good advice about everything is another really good. Like, that should be your bio. I give great advice about everything.
I think I give great advice. I mean, I don't know that I always take my own advice.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of a time I've given bad advice.
Wow.
I generally always give kind of perfect counsel.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the perfect person to have a podcast.
It's yeah. So terrible. Yeah. This video is going to get taken down by TikTok. No, people are going to kill me in the comments.
That's okay, but you know it doesn't matter because you don't need to mold.
I know, but I hate the comments.
You're like, I know, but I will.
The comments are so mean, though.
Of course, they're so mean.
Why does anyone have a podcast? It's like, no one should have a podcast. I agree with you.
That's not mean. That's the meanest comment. If that's the meanest comment you get right now, I'm going to be really jealous.
No, there's worse things I can't
people
even…
don't tell you to die and stuff?
Oh, of course.
Okay, good. That's what I'm talking about. Die? Why do people have a podcast? That's the nicest comment I've ever heard.
No. I'm always being told to die.
Okay, good. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm just… And I just have…
And then I'm old and I'm like, maybe I don't know. Like, no.
I'm like, maybe I should die. No, I've like numbed out. I've numbed out. I stopped reading. I have to not read it.
Sometimes I lie and say I do this, but actually for the past couple of weeks, I've truthfully not read a single comment.
How?
Actually, I haven't had social media on my phone. I deleted it off my phone. Okay. And usually when I do that, then I reinstall it to post and do that. But I've actually been getting my team to completely post. So my eyes have not laid on social media at all over the past 2 weeks. And can I just tell you, it is wild the difference it has made.
Really?
Because truthfully, when you're not seeing it every day, it doesn't exist. Like, it actually does not exist. Not a single person I've interacted with in real life has told me to die. Not a single person has been cruel for no reason. And you realize you're like, and I'm not trying to say so. Actually, I am trying to say social media is not real life. I believe it can have a real impact.
Mm-hmm.
But the way people behave is not how real humans behave. It is this the environment that is on social media is not an environment where people are real.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I truly encourage anyone. Like, I haven't seen Instagram at all for 2 weeks in my eyeballs.
Whoa.
And none of that
exists. My skin's clear.
None of it exists. Actually, I'm actually breaking up. But none of it exists. Like, it's just not.
Do you feel any. Okay, I always want to delete, but then I say I want to post for my career. Mm-hmm. Which, like.
I have thoughts about that, too.
Okay, so I have some thoughts about that.
Yeah, that's an excuse.
And then, that's an excuse. That's bullshit that I'm telling myself. And then, what about, do you ever feel, like, disconnected socially, but, like, your friends you're in touch with in a real meaningful way that's not that? Because, like, people you know and love are on social media.
Okay, so now let me tell this to you as someone who has her job because of social media.
Yes.
Who has a come up because of social media. Yes. I have a very strong connection to social media.
Yeah.
And that's been actually the bane of my existence because I have a hard time untethering myself.
Yeah.
And for years, I've been telling myself this story. And for years, it's been true. Which is, I need to post on social media because that's how I make a living.
Right.
It's how I get brand deals. It's how I do shows. It's how I do anything. I need that.
Yeah.
I need to post on social media to be relevant for my work. And for years, that was true. My views would feed me. I would get brand deals. Over the past 2 years, I've been like realizing that I think that none of that is true anymore. There's actually no evidence in my life currently that me consistently posting on social media is required of my job. I don't get auditions or don't not get auditions because of how many followers I have or how much engagement I have. Some of the top people in Hollywood right now do not have social media and are very, do not post at all.
Yeah.
I don't think any brand looks at my feed and goes, oh, she has, what is it? Was it 10 million or 14 million? How are we going to, I don't think they do that.
Right.
And so there's no evidence. The only thing I can determine is that it is a form of validation I'm having a really hard time cutting off because I don't get it anywhere else. And so what I've done now is I've actually, every time I'm like have an itch for social media, I make plans with a friend or I text a friend. And it has been night and day because after me just like having a text conversation with my friend, the amount of happiness I get so far trumps the validation I would get from a post.
Yeah.
It really, I know it sounds like it wouldn't, but it's just, it's unrealistic to think that social media is going to have zero validation. It's always going to validate you a little way. I think right now I'm like this.
Yeah.
Social media in real life, they value the same. They're the same for me.
Yeah.
But I think it needs to be like this. It needs to be like social media. Yeah, it's good to get an ego stroke whenever I like post a pretty picture. Sure.
Right.
But like this is what actually really matters. Yeah. Like people who know me.
Yeah.
Personally. Have chosen to spend 2 hours of time to hang out with me and we have a great relationship.
But do you think you can take your foot off the gas on social media because you've passed a certain threshold?
Maybe. I'm going to truthfully say that maybe.
Yeah.
Like, would I say this to my 2015 version of myself? Absolutely not. I'd be like, shut the F up and you need to post a bunch of stuff.
Right.
But I think I've gotten so used to convincing myself I need to do that, I don't think I need to anymore. And further to the point of what you just said, if it was really for your career.
Yeah.
I know you can hire someone if you don't already have someone to do that anyways.
Right.
There's no actual reason that you
yeah.
have to go on to social media and see comments with people telling you to kill yourself. There's actually no reason that has to happen. Because all those
That's a part of the genius of my machine.
That's what, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we're convincing ourselves all these, like, you could easily still have everything that's needed on social media for your career. It doesn't have to be your mental health that is on the line.
Yeah. I probably know the answer to this, but you have so many followers. Mm-hmm. Okay. You had a late night show. Mm-hmm. You've written books. Mm-hmm. You have a TED Talk.
Yep.
You're young and hot. Do you say,
oh my God,
do you so say much. Like, I did it. I made it. It happened for me. This is it.
I'm working on saying that. I'm working on one sentence, which is, I can be a combination of becoming and being. Which means for so much of my life, I was like, I got to be this thing. And when I'm that thing, I'll be happy. And I got to be that thing. I'm still not there. And years later now, 10, 11, 12 years later, I've done a lot of the things. Like my first three vision boards, I've done almost every single thing on them. I'm very fortunate to say I've met every person I wanted to meet. I have been in almost every room I want to be in. I've done a lot of really cool things. And I had to understand, like, then why can't you comfortably say the words, I did it and I've made it? And I think it's because I'm so just used to the chase of being like, because that feeling is over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's over there and I'm not there. So, and I think the reason I'm like that is because I feel like if I lose that, I suddenly lose my ambition. I have this fear of losing my ambition. So I'm just trying to do both at the same time. I'm trying to say, wow, I am here. I've arrived. I did all the things. And you know what? There's still some things over there I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I did all the things.
Right.
So I am trying to be more comfortable in saying I made it. I did it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that sounds
but
like it would.
But it was years of work to get to that place.
Yeah.
Because it feels like giving up. It feels like being.
But that's totally an illusion.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can just be like, this is great and I feel fulfilled 100%. By this and there's other things I want to do, but it won't kill me that
totally.
I want that.
Totally. Yeah.
And even if I don't get it, it won't kill me. Look at all I've done.
Surrender.
Surrender.
That word.
I know.
Not synonymous with giving up, even though my brain tells me they're the same, but they're not.
Right. What's the difference? Surrender is accepting.
Mm-hmm.
And giving up is
surrender
quitting.
Also means that, I really wanted this thing. I didn't get it. I can accept it. And I still maybe want that thing. Maybe there's a different way to get to that thing. Or maybe this thing is actually more meant for me. So I'll surrender to what giving up is. I didn't get it. Ugh, why did I even try? I'm never trying again to get that thing. I'm never going to try any of these things because I give up. That's kind of the difference in my brain.
Yes, I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. And like, I think surrender, there's still possibility for something to happen. Giving up, you kind of close
exactly.
the doors.
Correct. Exactly.
You know, your second book, Be a Triangle. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a triangle?
My second book, Be a Illuminati.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
100%.
And I just wanted to confirm on the record.
100%.
Okay.
Join Illuminati.
Did we get that clip?
Yeah. No. What it means is, so when I was like going through all the things we're literally talking about today, when I was reflecting and for years when I was like, oh my God, I've been about hustle. I've been about achieving my dreams. What does it all mean when I got really reflective in life? I realized, going back to our earlier conversation, that I only define myself in ways of accolades, career accolades.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked me, like, tell me about yourself. And I'm like, well, I had a late night show. I'm a content creator and I do this and I work in Hollywood and I act. And they actually know nothing about me.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of that little blurb, they know not who I am as a person. They don't
all
know.
Do not be.
Exactly, exactly. They just know a bunch of accolades. And I was like, that's kind of really sad. And it's because I realized I had no foundation in life. Like, I had no belief system, no identity of self, no idea of what my priorities are outside of work, outside of like what these accomplishments look like. So Be a Triangle is just like a commentary. When I Googled in my lowest moment, like how to build a foundation for life, how to bring a strong, I was just like Googling, you know, when you're lost, you're like, maybe Google will tell
how
me.
How to find yourself.
Yes. And the triangle kept coming up
because
it is structurally the shape that has the strongest foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It can't get knocked off balance when it's right side up. Mm-hmm. You just keep building on top of it. It doesn't teeter. So I was like, I wish I could build my life like that. Where like, I have a super strong sense of identity and belief system and value system. And then all these things are just on top of that. My accolades are on top of that. All these relationships are on top of that, but they're not the foundation.
So how did you do that?
I came up with four things that are never going to change in my life. And I made them part of my foundation, which is relationship to myself. No matter what happens ever, I'm always going to have a relationship with myself. It's never changing. Relationship to the universe. I'm always going to exist within this universe. That's my relationship with the universe, never changing. Understanding distraction. There's always going to be distractions. That's never going away. And implementing design was the last one, which basically means that one thing that will always remain true is that if I'm in a situation, I can be creative and figure out a way for it to work for me. Like, those four things will never change. Whether I'm working in Hollywood, whether I pivot and do something completely different, whether I'm in a relationship, not in a relationship, happy. And those things will never change.
So design is sort of vision-y, right?
It's vision-y, but it's also like, for example, I'll give you a really good example. We talked about coming out.
Mm-hmm.
When I came out for those 2 years, I was super uncomfortable with myself. And I projected a lot onto my family and to other people. And some of my relationships kind of drifted mm-hmm. because of that. I came up with implementing design the day I decided that I was going to take the active steps to rebuild some of those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this situation is not ideal, but it does not have to remain an ideal. You can be creative like you are in all your other work and come up with a way to bridge this gap here.
Mm.
And so implementing design is not only about visionary and creativity. It's about just how do I make this circumstance one that works for me?
Mm. Okay, there's an industriousness.
Yes, yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
And that's, what is, like, understanding distraction?
Understanding distraction is the reality that we can sit here and have a great conversation, mm-hmm. and I can leave here being like, oh my God, I feel so inspired and so awesome, and that was so great, and it was cool. And then next week when someone tells me to kill myself, or when a show gets canceled, or when someone breaks my heart, we go plummeting back into the place of, like, I'm worthless, I'm all. If we know our truth and our best operating place is a place of health and self-love,
mm-hmm.
everything that takes us away from that place is a distraction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you view that comment, that show cancellation, that whatever is a distraction, you can just understand that. Like, you, everyone listening here knows that your most optimal functioning position is one where you feel healthy, where you love yourself, where you take care of yourself, where you believe in yourself. You know that's when you function best and that's when you're the happiest. And if you know that, and that's your goal, then any single thing that takes you away from that, although they're valid, is a distraction from who you want to be. And it should be viewed as such.
Yeah.
Something that's going to happen, that's not going to define you, that you go there and then you can come back to this place.
Mm, yeah. You agree then that, like, the things that we don't get or what's not ours isn't meant to be ours. Like,
I do believe everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And I have no proof for this. I just have this belief in me. And I have to believe every morning that the universe knows what it's doing more than we do.
Yeah.
I have to believe that. I have to.
Yeah.
That I cannot believe that I have everything figured out, that I know what's best for me. Because there's many times when I haven't known what's best for me.
Right.
Or for other people.
Right.
Because I don't give good advice about everything. But I'm just saying, like, maybe you.
I'm being shticky.
I'm kidding.
I know.
I love it. I love your self-call. I'm going to use that all the time. If someone asks me for advice, I'm like, I'm glad you asked because I know. I think it's great.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. I know. I have to trust in something.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know fate, some idea of fate. I don't really find God all the time. But, like, my idea of God would be trusting in, like, how things unfold.
Yeah, I believe in God. But my belief of God is pretty synonymous with my belief in the universe.
Yes.
You know, I just really believe that. And there has to be. Look at this magical place we're in. There has to be a greater power that is, like, whatever you believe that is, science, whatever it is, like, there's something bigger than you is what I'm saying.
Yes.
There's something bigger than you and what you believe to be right and what you, there has to be something bigger.
Like, think about everything that had to go exactly, precisely right in order for Earth to be created.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be like knocking mm-hmm. Can of paint over and, like, mm-hmm. outcoming, like, mm-hmm. the Michelangelo?
There is some science behind this. Don't quote me, anyone that knows anything about science, because I'm going to say this wrong. But I know when I learned in biology, grade 12 biology, I remember my teacher teaching me that for human life to have occurred,
mm-hmm.
it was as simple as, like, one molecular thing had to adjust in such a tiny degree
mm-hmm.
for us to be here.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is much more powerful than any of us. So we just need to get off our high horse. And no matter what you believe in, just know that there's something bigger than you.
Okay, I need a poster now that says, Lily Singh came on the show and now I believe in God.
Yes. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good.
And
that she's a woman. But you know.
God is a woman.
Yeah.
Tell us about the show you're hosting now.
So I'm so grateful that I get to be on two Canadian shows. I'm Canadian. Did you know
yes,
Canadian?
Of course I knew.
And so I'm so nice. You know that. You know,
yes.
You
have, right, yeah, you're
right,
Canadian.
Right. I'm on Canada's Got Talent. A judge on Canada's Got Talent. I'm also hosting a show called Battle of the Generations.
Canadian icon.
Oh, baby. Come on. It is a super fun show. It's a trivia game show where each contestant is from a different generation.
Yeah.
So it's a Gen Z, a millennial, a Gen X, or a boomer. And I love it because, you know, so much of my content that I made on YouTube was about generational stuff. It's like parents and their kids and all this stuff. And it's just hilarious to see every generation come on that show really believing really believing they are truly the best generation.
That is so funny.
It is hilarious. It is so much fun to do.
Where can we watch it?
You can watch it in Canada.
Okay, guys, go to Canada and watch the show. Yes, I honestly love that idea.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
It's a lot of fun to do. Yeah.
And also, you have a production company.
I do.
Called Unicorn Island Productions.
I do. I have a company called Unicorn Island. It has a production arm called Unicorn Island Productions.
Okay.
And it has a philanthropic arm called Unicorn Island Fund. All about girls and women. Obviously, you know that by now. Obvi. The production side is cool, though. We have a slate full of like TV shows and features that we're working on. There's one show in particular I'm actually super hype about. It is a kids animation called The Mindful Adventures of Unicorn Island. Do a lot of parents listen to this? Maybe they're parents. Maybe they know kids. Maybe they like babysit kids,
people that have kids on this.
Okay, cool. Yeah. If you are someone who interacts with kids at every turn, whether you're a teacher, whatever it may be, it is an animated show. It's in collaboration with Headspace, actually.
Okay.
And it's short episodes, 10-minute episodes. Every episode teaches kids one mindfulness activity.
That's amazing.
So it's about a young Lily who like is stressed. Her parents are getting divorced. She's like having problems at school. She learns meditation. And when she meditates, she gets transported into the magical world of Unicorn Island, where like all of these imaginary creatures and stuff live there. And they have to learn one mindfulness activity to solve whatever problem is happening in that episode. But it is just like one of the things I'm most proud of making because I wish I had it as a kid.
Yeah, no, that sounds incredible. I have not heard of a single thing like that for children.
And even as I watched the episodes as an adult, you know, I watched everyone and I approved them and I gave notes and I was like, this actually makes me feel so much calmer. Like just doing the exercise as a full adult.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so, if you know any kids, whether you babysit or whatever, it's for free also. It's free on YouTube. Free.
Free.
Our favorite word.
Free.
It's for free on YouTube, but like it's 10 episodes and I'm so proud of it.
Wow. And what sort of like, what is the like quality of the, not quality, like the vibe of the film and TV on your slate?
It's mixed. I mean, there's a lot of comedy. There's one thing that is our entire mission statement, which is for the production side, it is making content that looks like the real world. And more and more, that means highlighting underrepresented voices.
Yeah.
And more, that means for me, South Asian voices, especially women.
Yeah.
Listen, 1 in 4 people on this planet identify as South Asian. And I feel like we're pretty underrepresented. And anything girls and women. So it's pretty cool, actually. The production side focuses on like female stories, complex female characters. And the philanthropic side is all about changing the culture of how we treat girls and women, specifically in India. So although they seem quite different, the synergy is actually the same.
Yeah.
And they're all under the umbrella of Unicorn Island, baby.
Wow. It's really impressive. And I really admire like the things you do with your platform and the values in your, you know, sort of initiative to get women a seat at the table.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you so
much. So thank you for the work
and
you
I'm
do.
Such a fan of yours also.
Oh, like, thank
truly.
You.
I remember even from the day I met you on my show.
Thank
you. I was
you.
Like, you're really cool.
Thank you so much.
I like
much.
Your vibes. I like your energy.
Thank you.